Good morning, church. Good morning. Shall we rise up for prayer and then the reading of God's word? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts to bless your holy name, Lord, to honor you, to glorify you, O God. Thanking you, Lord, that you have given us yet another opportunity to come into your sanctuary just to be fed of you. We welcome your Holy Spirit, O God, to come and saturate our hearts and our minds. Break the word unto us, O God. May your word bring transformation in our lives. May your word bring healing in our lives, O God. And may your word equip us unto greater works for your greater mission. We give you all the glory. I soak myself in the blood of Jesus, and I pray that, Lord, you will use me as an instrument in your hands, O God. May I not speak of myself, but may I speak the words you want your people to hear. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While still standing, let us open the Bible in the book of Genesis. We have two readings to do. This first one is Genesis 41, verse 19. 41 verse 14, sorry. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. Then we also read from Genesis 41, from verse 39 to 45. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house. All of my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set over you all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Shall we be seated? Praise the Lord. I thank God so very much for the pastoral team giving me an opportunity to be able to share God's word today. I'm humbled. The last time I stood here and ministered 1 month ago, I received feedback that I was talking very fast. So today, I will try to speak slowly, but there's a gadget in front of me that stands in witness against me. It's called a counter, a timer. So I will try my best to speak as slowly as possible. Now, the theme of this period here is the more spectacular the restoration, the huge is the mission. In other words, if you are expecting to accomplish a big mission, then expect to go through great restoration. In other words, also, for a mission to be spectacular, it means that it's massive, it's big. And restoration, in other words, means rebuilding, reconstruction, or preparing for that great mission. And I like the saying of Pastor John Hagee. He said, God uses no one until he puts them through the storm. Until you go through the storm, that's when you get to be used by God. And so if you are expecting to accomplish a great mission, then expect to go through restoration. You cannot be used of God unless you have gone through the storm, unless you have gone through the fire. And so the life we are looking at this morning is the life of Joseph. Joseph, as you know, was the son of Israel, of Jacob. He's the first son of his beloved wife, Rachel. You know the story of Jacob, how he went to his uncle Laban, and he loved Rachel so much, but he was given Leah as a wife, but he had to work again in order to get Rachel. But the womb of Rachel was closed, and so by the time when Joseph was being born, Jacob was advanced in age. So he really, really cherished Joseph because he was the son, first son of his beloved wife. Now, Joseph's mission was a great mission. It was a big mission. And God showed this to him in a dream. But at that age of 17, Joseph did not know what that dream meant. And so, as a child of 17 years old, a teenager, it is normal for some pride to come into you because he didn't know what to do with the dream. And he told this to his brothers. And their brothers interpreted it, and their father also interpreted it, that it meant that they would be bowing down to Joseph, and they couldn't take that. And one of the things that also made the brothers not to like Joseph is that being the beloved of their father, of his father, Jacob had made a beautiful robe for him, what we call the coat of many colors, which is normally was in those days given to children who have the first birthright. And Joseph also was sneaking on his brothers. When they go out to tend the animals, the flocks, he would come and report everything that they were doing out there. And so his brothers did not like this about them. So when Joseph got this dream, and God saw that he was about to mess up this dream, he had to take it in his hands. When God gives you a dream to accomplish a big mission, and then he realizes that you're going to mess it up all through pride or through vengeance or through anger, he will take it up. He takes it in his own hands so that he can mold you and make you so that you are able and ready and restored in order to carry that dream to the greater mission. Now we see Joseph being born and taking his journey to Egypt. In preparation for this journey, we see that when Joseph was sent to go and see how his brothers were doing in the field, the brothers connived and discussed among each other. Here comes the dreamer. What shall we do? Let us kill him. Kill him. Killing him meant that dream, that grand dream of God the Father, was going to be curtailed. So they discussed among them, let us kill him, take that coat, dip it in blood, and take it to his father and tell him that he has been devoured by animals. So the journey starts from there. Instead of being killed, one of the brothers, the older brothers, Reuben, suggested, let us not shed blood. Let us throw him into this pit, which does not have water. So they put him into that pit, and the journey starts from there. The next thing that happens, while Reuben is thinking of how to rescue him, a group of Midianites, traders, pass by, and they decide to lift Joseph up from that pit in order to sell him to them as a slave. Now, what characterized and made the journey of Joseph from the pit to the palace, because the end of it is in the palace where the greater mission is accomplished. What characterized Joseph's journey from the pit to the palace? I see obedience. As Joseph was lifted from that pit, I believe when he was walking with the Midianite traders on the road as they were going towards Egypt, Joseph showed a lot of obedience and a good character, such that The Midianite traders decided, we are going to sell him to Potiphar. And Potiphar was the king of the guards of Pharaoh. And that was a respectable family. It was a big family. So if Joseph had misbehaved on the way, I don't think they would have decided to sell him to such a big and honorable family. So because of his behavior of obedience along the road, I believe Joseph ended up being sold to the house of Potiphar, and he became the servant to Potiphar's wife. So the road to Midian or to Egypt, he ended up in the house of Potiphar. While Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, there are so many things that happened there. We know well how Potiphar's wife tried to get his way with him, but she couldn't because Joseph did not forget who he was. Because at that time, God had taken the dream into his hand, and he was working in the hands of Joseph himself. Because Joseph could not handle that dream himself. Now, God had taken over. We read in Genesis 37, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, that Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wife, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other son. So now, what I want to emphasize here is that take care of your dream. Don't allow your dream to be killed. Don't allow the dream God has put in you to be killed. Because your dream is a witness to God. You remember Lazarus. When Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, apart from the people wanting to kill Jesus, they also wanted to kill Lazarus. Why did they want to kill Lazarus? Because Lazarus was a testimony. He was a testimony that Jesus can raise the dead. So if God has put a dream in you, take care of it. Not everybody will be happy with you when you tell them, God has given me this dream. Not everybody. Be careful whom you tell about your dreams. Be careful whom you tell about your aspirations, because not everybody will rejoice over you. And if God sees that you are too young and inexperienced to handle that dream, he will take it away so that he can take you through restoration for that dream to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Another thing is that while Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, he did not take matters in his own hands. Sometimes when you are given a dream, you decide that you will accomplish it yourself. You decide to take corners. But, you know, Joseph could have done so many things in the house of Potiphar in order maybe to rise above. But he said, I will not sin against my God. Because he knew sinning against Potiphar, who had taken him in as a slave, by having his way with Potiphar's wife, was sinning against God. And many times we are finding ourselves in such positions, such situations, where we can take matters in our own hands and make a little sin here and there in order to have our way. Do not take matters in your own hands. Don't run ahead of God. Stay in track with the word of God, with how God is leading you. And remember Mordecai. Mordecai, as he sat at the gate, and when his niece Esther was in the palace, there was a time when the king called to honor Mordecai. And the one who was commanded to do that was Haman, who is arch enemy. What is interesting is there that Mordecai would soon rise to power. But at that time, he was honored by being put on the horse and going around the city. But the interesting thing is that after he had been taken round the city and being proclaimed as honorable, Mordecai descended from that horse and he went back to the gate. He did not say, now I am big, now I am known, now Haman, who hates me, has taken me around the city. No, he waited for his time. He went back to sit at the gate to wait for the time. So when God gives you a dream, walk step in step with the Lord. Do not run ahead of the Lord. Hallelujah. Another thing is that you need to focus. To focus on the greater mission. You know, Joseph was seeing how his brothers would bow down to him. He did not see Egypt. He did not see him becoming the prince of Egypt, where many people would come and bow, seeking grain. He saw very small. So, and this is what happens with us sometimes. We don't see the bigger picture. Like the children of Israel, when Jesus was born, they were expecting a ruler who would come and save them from the Romans who were ruling over them. Yet God had a greater and grander plan. He wanted to save them and rescue them and reconcile them to himself after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. They did not see that bigger picture. So in everything you do, look at the bigger picture and focus. Why is it that God has put this blessing in your hands? Why is it that you're going through this valley of the shadow of death? Why is it that you're going through this trial? What is the greater picture? What is ahead? What does God want to accomplish? Don't just look at the here and now. Look at the bigger picture. Joseph was to become the second in command to the Pharaoh in Egypt. And he was to save many lives, many people from hunger, not just his own family. Hallelujah. Another thing I would say is that don't be distracted by what happens along the way. Do not be distracted. You know, it is human to kind of feel proud because of what is happening. It's sometimes normal to feel you want to take vengeance. And I think of David, as God had already designated him to be the king of Israel. And Saul was after his life. And the Bible says three times David has the opportunity to kill Saul. And his servants told him, let us kill him. He's just right here. But David said, no, touch not the anointed of the Lord. It could have been a shortcut for David to become king. And we have many times when we have shortcuts. We can take shortcuts. But David said, no, you cannot raise your hand against the Lord's anointing. And as I was preaching this to myself, I remembered and I thought, there are many times we speak against the people God has put in authority over us. We speak against pastors. We speak against rulers. We speak against our bosses. We speak against people God has put in authority over us. It is not right. It is wrong. If anything, the Lord who put that pastor in place, he is the one who knows how to handle him, how to deal with him. It is not ours to judge and raise a finger against the servants of God. May the Lord help us. Instead of raising fingers against them, we pray for them. And so David did not take a shortcut. He said, I cannot raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. And the Lord takes our dreams from our hands when we are unable to handle them. Like Simeon, when he was told that he was going to have a child who was going to be called John, who would baptize Jesus, he doubted. He did not believe. And what happened to him? God took it from his hand so that he will not mess up things. He made him dumb. He couldn't speak until John was born. So when you are unable to handle that dream that God puts in your hands, the Lord will take it away from you so that he can restore you, so he can deal with you, so he can take you through the storm, so he can prepare you. Then when he knows that you are ready to handle that dream, that greater mission, then the dream is going to manifest. Hallelujah. Another thing I learned is that you have to follow the steps. I don't know if some of you know about the line graph. Sometimes I know when you take babies are born, they are taken to the clinic, they mark the weight and they put a dot. When the weight goes up, the dot is up. When the weight goes down, the dot goes down. And when you want to join those lines, you have to go from dot to dot to draw the line. You cannot skip any of those dots. You cannot say because in March the weight was too low, it was 2 kg, so I will skip and go to April where the weight was 5 kilos and just draw a straight line. No, you have to follow the dots. If it goes down, you go down. If it goes up, you go up. And what I want to tell you is life is like that. You join the dots and you cannot skip any of them. And what determines how long you stay at every point, if it is at the peak or if it is at the very bottom, is your attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude. How long you stay in the valley will depend on your attitude. How long you stay on the peak of your life will depend on your attitude. You can get promoted. How you behave at that point of promotion will completely depend on your attitude. If you find yourself without a job one day, how long you stay without a job will depend on your attitude. Your attitude should be an attitude of praise, and your attitude should be an attitude that reminds you of who you are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I also learned that as you are walking towards that dream and following those steps that God has put in your path, remember, when the Lord says stop, you have to stop. You have to stop and wait. When he says move, then you move. You cannot, as I said before, run ahead of God. And in that, I would like to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 9, from verse 15, which talks about the children of Israel and how they moved with the cloud leading them along the way. It says in Numbers 9, 15 to 23, on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle and the tent of the testimony. And evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after the people of Israel, often the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped out. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over there a few days, and sometimes it was months before they could move. So your stop might be days, it might be hours, it might be months, it might be years. But you cannot run ahead of God. You have to stay in sync with him. Another thing I would want to emphasize is forgiveness. When Joseph had attained the position of second in command to Pharaoh, he sent for his brothers. His brothers came and recognized them, and he sent for his father to come. I want to tell you that Joseph did not even remember that his brothers were to bow to him. But they came there and bowed. They bowed to him at the appointed time of God. He did not take vengeance. He did not make them uncomfortable by reminding them, remember I told you you're going to bow down to me. No. Joseph did not remind his brothers of what happened, but he remembered God and he saw the greater mission where now they came and bowed and he was saving the entire world from hunger. So Joseph also did not forget his roots. As a Christian, always remember that Christ is in you. Wherever you go, don't forget your identity. Your identity is in Christ. You may find yourself in very different, funny, ungodly circumstances, but remember your identity. Your identity is in Christ. You carry Christ along. You may be in a community where people do not worship God. They do not know God. But remember your identity. When Joseph was in prison, he told the wine dresser who was to serve Pharaoh, who was released after a dream. He told him, please, when you are out there, remember me. I was stolen from my land, from the land of the Hebrews. I don't belong here. And even when he died, he was going to die, he told his brothers to promise him, when you are taken out of this land, carry my bones because I don't belong here. So Christian brothers, remember your identity, the identity that Christ has given you. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. You are a born-again Christian if you are. You carry the image of Christ wherever you go. And remember, God will bring to pass every dream that he puts in you. It will depend on your attitude. Wherever, whatever God puts in your heart, it's not for you. It's for his greater mission. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, it is so that you become a witness. It's for the greater mission that many more will know him as Lord and Savior. And as he has given you that dream, as he put that dream in you, he'll bring it to fruition. He will make it come to pass. He will fulfill it. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter the hills. It doesn't matter the valleys. It doesn't matter the plains. He will make it happen. Praise the Lord. And all the time remember, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. Just like Joseph said, Egypt is not my home. This world is not our home. We are passing through. Let us remember the greater mission of Jesus Christ, which he charged every one of us in Matthew 28. Go ye into the world and make disciples. So wherever you go, ensure that you are making disciples through your character, through your behavior, and through the position that God has put you in. It may be that position in the valley. It may be that position on the hilltop. Remember, you are there for a mission, and God is going to make that dream come true. And this song that Sarah sings. It says, I made it through, and I don't know how I did it. I made it through, and I can't tell how I did it. But one thing I know, Jehovah took it over, and that is how I made it through. I made it through. I made it through, and I don't know how I did it. I made it through, and I can't tell how I did it. But one thing I know, Jehovah took it over, and that is how I made it through. Hallelujah. You will all make it through.